Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Samach Hey. We got up to the second line. U'b'moch shebo'oznas. We're talking about wearing the type of things that are being used in order to help out some type of minor illness, like she's got fluid in the ear and so on. So you're allowed to go out wearing some type of cotton in the ear. Tani Rami Bar Yecheskevu Shekosher Bo'ozna. This is only if it's properly tied, because otherwise we're afraid that it might fall out. And if it falls out, then we've got our problem that we usually have. She may bend down and walk with it a bit before putting it back in. B'moshe B'sandala. If we're talking about an open sandal, we have the same problem there, because Tani Rami Bar Yecheskevu Shekosher Bo'ozna. So if it's open, the whatever she put in order to use as something that is going to adjust her foot so that it doesn't hurt her or stop something rubbing, making a bunion, it could fall out. And also a sanitary napkin, b'moshit kinala l'nidata. So here too, Rami Bar Chama thought that it's talking about where it's connected in some level, like those old-fashioned sanitary napkin things where they had like a panty that held it in place. So I have to be kashur la ben yirechotel. On my Rava, not true. Because over there, there's no way that she's going to touch something as disgusting as a sanitary napkin if it falls out. And you don't have to worry about that. So afa pishenu kosher la, kiven demais lo atila tuye. Now we had this general discussion yesterday about the issue of whether we judge each one of these problems on its merits, or whether there's a general iser that's involved. And we ended up, at least according to many of the Achreinim, understanding that the only way that we can make our peace with the fact that people seem to ignore a lot of these isurim is by judging it on its particular merits, and to understand that these are not absolute gezeres, but that what they actually represent are guidelines. So in that case, we can apply the specifics of each case to see whether it's reasonable to be choshesh in such and such a case that she would actually move something. So, okay, so now Rava has told us the yesod, which we've already seen a number of times before, which we're going to put them all together soon, that anything that is unreasonable that she would want to touch and that it's moves, we don't have to be choshesh. And now the question is how much would we adjust this for circumstance? So let's say there's some type of holder for the sanitary napkin. So perhaps if she would asatala beit yad, what would be the din, said Rav Nachman Moshaya? That would it be mutter or not? Ask Rabbi Yirmiyahu from Rababa. And he said it's mutter. And in fact, Rav Nachman Moshaya quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, in a case where there was a beit yad, even though that makes it less disgusting to carry, it still would be mutter. Now, actually, Rabbi Yochanan, he wore this wad in his ear. He had a problem with liquid in his ear. And he went out to the Beis HaMedrash wearing it. And the other Gedolim in his generation felt that he did the wrong thing because it was not kashur. And they held that it should go like Rami Bar Chama, that it has to be kashur. Rabbi Yanai Nafik Buda Karmelit, where it wasn't even Mahadik. So the difference is that by Rabbi Yanai, he went out only to a Carmelite, but everybody ganged up on him, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, where it doesn't say everybody ganged up on him. Here it says, Chalukin Olav Kol Doro. Because of that, we understand that the situation must have been different, and that what Rabbi Yanai did is he walked out with a wad that was not even tightly in his ear. And so there's two inyanim. One is called Mehadek, and one is called Kashur. Mahadek would mean it's under pressure, internal pressure, because it's big enough to expand in the ear and it's held in place. And the other one is that it's actually connected to a string that was tied around the ear, or a bandage of some kind, where it couldn't possibly fall off. So we understood that Rabbi Yochanan was not kosher, but he put something into his ear that was tight. Neil, that was sufficient. And there were many who argued. Rabbi Yanai didn't even put it in when it was tight, but he didn't go into Rosh Hashanah. He only went into a Carmelite, and he held that the Gezerah was not on a Carmelite, even though it's very, as we've had many times, once we allow you to go into a Carmelite, the likelihood is you're going to end up carrying in Rosh Hashanah. But because of that, since we don't hold of that, generally everybody was upset what Rabbi Yanai had done. But how is it that they could go out? What was Rabbi Yochanan thinking? Didn't Rabbi Bar Yecheskevu said it has to be tied? Yes, he did. But That was only where it wasn't internally pressured, Rabbi Yochanan held. And lo kasha, hodu mihadek v'hodu lo mihadek. So it depends how tight in the ear it is. Halacha l'maisa, again, these are one of those things that we paskin both chumras. I mean, it has to be, because everybody argued on Rabbi Yochanan. Even though it was tight, they held it needed to be kashur. And therefore, we paskin that way in the Shulchan Aruch. She's allowed to go out wearing something for halitosis in her mouth, carrying something. So pilpil or a gargir melach, pilpil would be l'reach hapeh, and melach would be for l'dor shini. Dor shini, of course, is a word that reminds you of teeth. Dor shini, it would be along the row of the teeth or for a problem in the teeth. But anyway, she's got a sore tooth, and salt helps. And anything that she would put into her mouth, like ginger, zangabila, inama dartsuna, or cinnamon stuff to suck on. Shein totevet, shein shel zahav. And if she's got a golden tooth, Rabbi Matir chachomim osrim. Rabbi Zera lo shono ela shel zahav. This is specific. The thing over here is that it's made out of gold. And gold is extremely, has a number of different issues. Three different issues, really. First of all, gold stands out very, very brightly against her other teeth. And therefore, she might suffer from people making fun of her. Another issue is, if the tooth falls out, gold is very valuable, and she's certainly going to retrieve it and maybe carry it in Rishus HaRabim. And the other pshat is a little more difficult, but is the way that the Gemara understands the later Rebbe, is that since it's a gold piece, she may actually take it out to show a friend, look at my beautiful gold tooth, which, of course, we saw before already in two places, that embarrassing things were not choshesh that she's going to take out. So we're going to get into that machlokas in a minute. So if it's shel kesef, divrei hakol, it's mutter. Tanya amiyachi, but shel kesef, divrei hakol mutar, shel zahav, rebi matir v'chachomim osrim. Says Abaye that, you know, we've had three different Aman Diomrim so far in this sugya, who all hold that anything that's embarrassing, you don't have to worry that she's going to take it off in order to show it. To show. Rebbe, as we just said, Rebbe Eliezer, remember Rebbe Eliezer was talking about those kind of pretty dispensers for deodorant. Well, I mean, she doesn't want to show off that she smells, does she? So because of that, he says, you're even allowed to go out l'chatchila with a kovelet or a tzulchit shel plaiton. Reb Shimon ben Elazar all did the same thing, because Reb Shimon ben Elazar, remember, set a general rule. Anything which requires the removal of her hat in order to show, she does not have to worry about, she's allowed to go out. Why? Because she's not going to embarrass herself by taking off her hat and uncovering her hair, which is Rabbi. If it's l'mala menasevachav, however, it's on top of her hat, then we have the problem. And now we get to our kapitan, who's not quite ready. I'm always drinking. Wow. That's what I meant by not ready. Yotz'ah. Yotz'ah b'sela sha'al hatzinit. She's allowed to go out wearing a coin, a sela coin, on top of a planter's wart. Now, these are famously difficult to get rid of. And they're on the bottom of the foot. And wearing a sela, particularly this kind of coin, was okay for this. Everyone's going to ask what the point is of wearing a sela. Habonot ktanot yotzot b'chutin v'afilu b'kismin shebozneihem. Little kids can wear these colored ribbons, not ribbons, threads, and even pieces of wood that they put through the hole of the earrings in order to prevent the hole from closing up. They used to make the hole early on when the child wouldn't, you know, notice any suffering or be afraid. Now we keep it open until she got a little older, was old enough to wear earrings. Arviot, now women who live in Arabia, are allowed to go out wearing a burqa because that was normal. Madiot, people who live in the media, they're also allowed to go out with prufot, because the prufot means that you use, instead of buttoning up your clothing, what they used to do is they had a type of clothing where one piece would go all the way up around the other piece, and then they would stick something like a stone or a coin or whatever into the bottom piece, put the other one around it, and then wrap it with a string, and that was the fastening. So over there, since that was the derech, then that was not be considered to be hotzah, and it was just a way that you buttoned up your coat, and therefore it would be mutter. Now, the truth is, it doesn't mean dafka, these people. It's kol adam. If it's a place where this is accepted, so then it's accepted. It's not considered to be something weird, and there's no problem in doing it, and it's considered to be derech malbush. We don't mean only if you're in Arabia, or only if you're a Madai, that is not the point. What can you use for this? Well, you can use a stone, you can use a nut, you can use even a coin. As long as you don't do that, first off, the first time you're doing it, on Shabbos, but you're walking along with it on Shabbos, that is a contradiction. First you say you can, boref it, then you say you can't. The Gemara is going to be discussing all of this. Okay, what exactly is a tzinit? Well, the tzinit is a batara. It's got a planter's wart. It's similar to the word batara anyway. And it's a kind of wart that can go on for years and years, keep growing, very painful. Umayshna sela, why do you use a coin? Is it because it's anything that's hard is good? Kol mida de'akushi malela? So, I mean, why a sela of all things? I mean, use a piece of chaspa, piece of earthenware. Is it misum shuchta? Is it because of the fact that it gets damp from sweat and metal sweats, so that maybe that's good for the wort? So then just make a tasa, just make a piece of metal. Ela mishum tsurata? Is it because there's an image on it, and that image is supposed to help it? That was, by the way, pretty commonly believed. Liyavad lepulsa. So then just take a wooden nickel. Omra bayesh maimina kulumalin. That's the combination that is good. Now, this is a little bit strange because lechora, it shouldn't matter to us that it's merape at all. What should matter to us is just the fact that it's going to protect. And certainly it will protect. I mean, anything will protect it from being exposed to rubbing against the shoe or against the ground. So it's because of this Gemara that actually the Shulchan Aruch paskens, it has to do both. It has to both protect and heal based on this Gemara, which is very strange. And many of the Rishonim disagree with that. And they say that the only thing that we're worrying about over here is why a coin, which involves other issues, which like of mukta, and a coin doesn't really lose its identity because you put it into a shoe. But if you're talking about stam, the same way we had before, that you could put a soft material to cushion a bunion in a shoe, then why wouldn't you be able to put something in to cushion a planter's wart? Of course you could. This is the way the Prima Gunim learns in the end, that be'etzem, we're only, everybody would agree, that if it's something that is there for cushioning and doesn't lose its identity, and does rather lose its identity as opposed to a coin, then the Shulchan Aruch wasn't talking about that. And that for sure would be mutter, which makes a lot of sense. Okay, then we go on to these little things that kids would wear in their ears to keep the earring hole open. Now, Shmuel's father had a lot of issues as to how he allowed his kids, his girls, to act. So there was a few things that he did that was different than most people. First of all, he did not allow his girls to go out wearing these threads in their ears, even though the Mishnah said you could. He did not allow his girls to sleep together. And he also made mikvaot during Nisan, when we're going to see that there was a lot of rainwater, and he was nervous about their going to the mikvah in the Nahar Prat, because there might have been so much rainwater that it was over the amount that would allow them to be tavelet in flowing water. Because remember, flowing water is not kosher unless it's natural flowing water from a spring. But if it's rainwater or melt, snow melt, which is what happens during the summer to the Prat, so he was afraid that they would be being tavelet in water that was usser because it was moving and it was rainwater. So he made mikvahs for them during that time of the year. And he made matzah biyomi Tishrei. During Tishrei, already there's definitely, it's not swelling from rainwater in the Nahar Prat because it doesn't rain during the entire summertime. So because of that, he was only nervous. Rashi learns he was nervous because there was a lot of mud on the bottom. And he was afraid that the mud would be a chatzisa. So he put down matzah on the ground in order for them not to get their toesies all muddy. And Rabbeinu Tam learns that that wasn't the issue at all. The issue was he was nervous that they wouldn't do a proper tefillah because they were afraid that people would walk by and see them naked. Because of that, they would like jump in very quickly and it wouldn't be a good tefillah. So he put up these maftzeh, not on the ground, he put up these maftzeh's mechitzas so that they wouldn't have to be nervous about people seeing them. Now this becomes a big machlokas halacha l'maisa. What do you do when you're in a place where there is no mikveh? And the only place you can go to the mikveh, we're talking about women, obviously. I mean, we're not going to be makbid, you know, if a man wants to go to mikveh, go wherever you want. But the question over here, the d'oraisa, would there be, in fact, a chashash? According to Rashi, there seems to be a chashash that there's mud on the bottom. If there's mud on the bottom, Shmuel wouldn't allow them to be tovelet, so then maybe you cannot go into a place where there's mud. So this becomes a big machlokas, what to do under these circumstances. And in fact, we paskin like this, that really the only kind of mud that would be ma'akev tvila would be very thick mud. That's called tita yavein. So very thick mud could actually be a chatzitza. It really sticks onto your skin. Masha'enken, just the fact that the water's a little muddy, that's not going to be a problem. And therefore, mi'ikradin, you're really allowed to go into a normal kind of river. However, because of the chashash that you won't shake a leg and make sure that there's nothing attached to it that got stuck on or whatever, and the nervousness again of people coming by or whatever, because of that, it's always preferable to go to a mikveh, to go to a real mikveh, rather than to go into a muddy area. Okay, what about the question of whether there's a lot of rainwater as opposed to natural spring water? Now, this we're going to see in the sugya that's coming up. We'll talk about how we paskin about this issue. Okay, let's go through now the three things that Shmuel did that was different than normally people act with their kids. So first of all, it says he didn't allow them to go out with the threads in their ears. Why not? The Mishnah says, Beferish, Anantan, Abanot Yotzot Chutin. No, the Shmuel's kids had really pretty chutin. There are all kinds of colors that he had made for them. Because of that, he was afraid that that's the kind of thing that they might want to show off because it attracts attention. They might take it out of their ears. And because of that, Lo Shav, he didn't allow it. He also did not allow them to sleep with each other. Now, this seems to be a raya to Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that lesbianism is usur, and that nashima misololot zo bezo are a type of znus, and they pasul themselves for the kahuna. So if they pasul themselves for the kahuna, that means that he holds that it would be literally a type of real sexual activity of znus. Masha inkein, if you don't hold, and we don't paskin like this, of course, the psulis of kahuna. Lekuhuna, if you don't hold this, then Lechora, he wouldn't be so makbin on his kids. So if they get turned on to each other, whatever, it's not the end of the world. It's not going to cause them any kind of real damage. And therefore, he wasn't makbin. And he normally, we wouldn't be makbin. And Shmuel apparently was makbin. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. It may simply be a wise act of Shmuel, not because he's afraid of lesbian attachments, but because he's afraid that maybe they will get so used to always sleeping with another person that if they're not together as kids, then they're going to start looking around for some man to sleep with. So because of that, it's kiyechadu lil fan gufa nuchra. So of course, these were chumras that he held for his children. Again, we don't paskin that a lesbian is pasul kahuna. And furthermore, he made mikvaot for them during Nisan. Why? Well, that seems to be a raya to Rav. Rav says that there's one way to know that there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael. Mitra b'marava sahada rabba prat. Best proof is look at the amount of water that you see in Nahar Prat. So therefore, now Rashi understands this to mean that the watershed of the Prat comes from Eretz Yisrael, which is very problematic, as Tosis points out, because it doesn't. The truth is, if actually we were zeicha to the full Eretz Yisrael, and the Har Prat would be the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, okay, then you could say this, but the Eretz Yisrael that he was living in, to say in those times that rain in Eretz Yisrael would get to the Prat, is certainly not the watershed of the Prat. Tosfos asks on Rashi. It's just physically not the case. Therefore, Tosfos learns that the idea over here would be the basin of the Prat, not the watershed of the Prat, and that if there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, then there's backup in the areas of the Prat that would get to Eretz Yisrael because there's so much rain in the local Naharot that you could tell by the swelling in other areas of the Prat basin. But in any event, what it shows is that there might be mixing of water, and therefore he would be choshesh to allow her to go into the Prat because maybe it's full of some rainwater that got mixed in at the bottom. But this, therefore, the problem would be, we're worried there's going to be more rainwater than there is natural water. And the natural water is kosher, bezechila, while it's flowing, but the other water, which drips, or which comes from snowmelt, is not kosher. Now this, Avua de Shmuel, surprisingly, Shmuel, his son, argues on, because Shmuel says in general, a nahara mikipe mivrach. What this means is that no matter how much rain there is, the rainwater's effect on a river is more from the actual water that gets into the ground level than does in terms of the direct flow into the river. So the pressure of the water coming up out of the ground, where the rain all around is increasing the ground level of the water, is the ikar mikor of that water. It doesn't matter that it initially comes, obviously it has to come from rain, I mean, that's obvious, but even though it initially comes from rain, once it's absorbed into the groundwater, obviously it's not rain anymore. That's the river water. That's the direct stream. And therefore, there's no way, according to Shmuel, that you could Aser a river based on the direct rainfall, because you would have more water that would be coming anyway from the river's own source because of that rain, and therefore it would be kosher even though it was moving. So Shmuel apparently would never have been concerned for what it is that his father was concerned about. Now, what's interesting is, by the way, is that the reason that we call Nahar Prat the Prat, according to the Gemara, is because Meimav Parim Veravim. And that's that the Prat was unusually sensitive to rises in the groundwater, and therefore would seem to just be coming from nowhere, even though it wasn't raining, and it was paravarava, because that was unique about the Prat, was the way that it had a tremendous amount of swell out of ground-level water. So therefore, for sure, the Prat, we would say, Nahara Mikipo Mivrach. And yet, what's interesting is that Shmuel himself actually seems to be soser his own psak, which isn't really a stira, as the Rishonim point out. It's just that he was machmir, halacha lemaisa, he was machmir to do like his father did. Because Shmuel paskin lemaisa, en amayim etaharim bezochalin, el aprat biyume tishrei bilvad. You can't rely on flowing water unless you know that it's a river that is not getting any rain for a while. Now, we don't paskin like that. And again, me'ikar hadin, you would not have to worry because we paskin that nahara mikipe mivrach. And therefore, even if it's been raining, you would be allowed, in a case where you don't have a mikvah, would be allowed to be semich on the fact that in general, mikipe mivrach, unless it's some kind of really unusual thing. And, you know, there's like, you'll find sometimes these flooding waters. That's something else where you've got like in the Negev, tremendous floods that could come instantaneously by bringing water on the surface all over. Okay, so in order to avoid these kinds of circumstances, again, people are knowing to be careful about where they're going to be going to a mikvah. However, if you're stuck, and you're in a place where you don't have a mikveh. It's very interesting because during the coronavirus, I got shilas from a lot of people, actually in the New York area, about what the heck are they supposed to do? Their wives don't want to go anywhere near a mikveh. And the question is whether would they be allowed to go, you know, somewhere like in a stream or in the ocean or whatever. And all of these shilas came up a great deal halacha lemaaseh when people are avoiding mikvaot. Purefet ala Evan, and the last case that we had was the strange Mishnah. First, the Mishnah says, well, it's okay. You can use a stone, you can use a coin, use whatever you want. And Purefet obviously means you can actually do the piruf. The piruf is putting the other baguette around the under baguette and wrapping it with a string. It doesn't say you can go out with it. It says you can do it. So then how could the Mishnah a minute later say, but you can't do it on Shabbos? Well, so when is it Purefet? So if Purefet Amrit Resha, you are Purefet, and then you say you're not Purefet. Omer Abayin, the last piece of the Mishnah was only talking about the case of the using a coin, where over there you have the problem of muktzah. Masha Inken, we're talking about stone or nuts, which would have a tashmish either for their own, the nut for its own tashmish, and the stone would be usually used for Purefet. And we're talking about over here specifically a stone that is rounded and is the kind of thing that you'd want to use for piruf. So in that case, they're not considered to be muktzah because that's what they're used for in that area all the time. Masha Inkein, as we said before, a coin does not lose, unless, of course, it was miyuchad for that purpose. Okay, if it's been used before and it's miyuchad, then it would be the same as the stones. Well, yeah, Baye. What I want to know is, well, let's say you got a kid outside who is crying for a lollipop. Now, can you take the lollipop, put it in place of the stone, and then be porefet on the lollipop, come outside, take out the porefet, and give the kid the lollipop? Or is that like too sneaky to be mutter on Shabbos? Because it's like you're taking it out, beheter, but it doesn't look good. What's the idea over there? So I'm asking this, by the way, according to both shitot, that I will discuss in a moment about whether ha'arama is mutter in terms of hotzah on Shabbos. So, bayabai, isha mau shetarim v'tifrof aleya goes lotzi livna katan b'shabbat. So should she be allowed to take out a nut for her kid who wants a nut on Shabbos or not? And I'm asking this, both according to the Mandi Amar who holds that you're allowed to be ma'arim on Shabbat, and according to the Mandi Amar that holds, you're not allowed to be ma'arim on Shabbat. Where we have that machlokas, as we'll see later on in the Masechet Bezrat Hashem, is where a fire breaks out on Shabbos, and you need to save things from the fire by carrying them out. Now, over there we make a gezerah about how much you're allowed to carry out because of the chashash that if you start getting panicky, you'll just put out the fire. So the question is, could you just like put on five suits or five dresses and carry them out because like you're wearing them, you're not really carrying them? Or is that type of harama usur and you'd only be allowed to do things you would normally do? So that's my question. I think that it's a good question, both according to the Mandi Amar in Ma'arimin and also according to the Mandi Amar who says you are Ma'arimin. Because I would say like this. Because Tiboy Lamandi Omar Ma'arimim, because if he's talking about over there a fire, Bidleka. So Hatam who de'ilo sharitile atilichavuye. One of the things that we take into consideration about a Dleka is that if we don't allow you, it's a very delicate balance. If we allow you to get panicky, then you're going to get so panicky, you'll lose control and you'll just put out the fire without thinking. If we don't allow you to do something to save your things, then you will also put out the fire just simply by contemplating the loss and you'll lose your mind and maybe just go and put out the fire on Shabbos. So what we're looking for is a balance over there. And because of that, we made a list of things you could take out, you could take them out normally and so on. So the question is, according to Mandi Amar, who says that you would be allowed to be Ma'arim, he feels that as long as you're wearing it, it tends in the direction of preventing panic. Masha Inkin, if we limit you too much, that itself is going to generate panic, and therefore you would go out and be mechaber. Masha Inkin over here, I mean, I understand that in modern terms, obviously a screaming child is much worse to a mother than a fire in the house burning down. That's for sure. judging by the people that I see. But at the time of the Gemara, believe it or not, people did not consider children that needed a lollipop to be a national emergency, and therefore they would not panic. So over here, we wouldn't have any kind of raya from that case. So lo atilafuk, you're certainly not going to take it out on Shabbos. Or maybe the other way around. Even the Man Yomar who says when it comes to a dleika, ein ma'arima b'dleika, that's because it is normal to take out clothing by wearing it. We have the case of the guy who's the big seller of kelayim, you know, when he's walking around in the market, which is the same as the guy who just busted into a clothing truck and is saying, would you like one? How about this one? How about that one? And therefore, that's considered to be derech hotzah. Masha inken, carrying lollipops as buttons is certainly not considered to be derech hotzah. And therefore, even if it would turn out that she's carrying it and people would be chayshed that they would come to be carrying it, they're going to learn from her to be carrying it, that wouldn't be such a disaster because ain't derech hotzah b'kach. Maybe that would be okay. Shaper dummy. This question, we shall have to allow it to hold. Teikuk.